Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Oh, I'll have a strawberry milkshake.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
Yeah, we all right?
Oh, good, yeah. Hey, yeah. Mark. Mark.
Me.
No, other one.
Hey.
What is it next week?
It's Kendall.
Kendall.
Kendall's calling.
Excited.
He's calling. Kendall is calling us.
Are you excited?
Very.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
It's good, it looks it.
I love it. Listen, I love it. I love it. I've got nothing to really compare it to because I haven't been to any other festivals.
Yeah.
But I'm really, you know, Mark tried for ages to kind of said to me, no, you need to come and try it. And I was very much like, oh, I'm not bothered about festivals. But I love it. I absolutely love it. I would recommend
cider
it.
Cider for breakfast.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping I can come next year.
Yeah.
When tickets go on sale, I want to be in that fold. And
Yeah,
definitely.
Love yeah. it.
Definitely. So how's your week been? Good?
Yeah.
Been up to much?
All right. Well, I can tell you about something that's happened to me.
It didn't happen to me,
but Tuesday, Wednesday last week, woke up, looked out at window, a massive pile of paint. Right. Not on my drive.
A pile of paint.
Well, I say a pile, it were a massive blob.
A splattering.
No, like a whole tin of paint, shall we say.
Oh, so not palletised, like it's been delivered to someone.
Palletised.
Palletised.
Like, yeah, but you know, like a delivery of paint in someone's actually poured it out.
Well,
Is it like a Rotherham Banksy?
Somebody spilt a tin of paint, a white paint.
Right.
It went on my drive, it was just near my drive.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
And I'm like, what's happening here? Worse still, there were like tyre mark, people had driven through it. I'm like, how can people drive through this? I'm in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
So well,
you can't
like,
be in a cul-de-sac and people are driving through paint, Mark.
there's no traffic coming and going, is there? So I thought, right, straight onto CCTV, see what's going off here.
Of course you did.
3:15 it happened in morning.
Right.
So car pulls up.
Let me guess. It's not paint. The milkman's dropped a bottle.
That's it. No. So anyway, this car pulls up sort of outside my house type thing. This guy gets out. He's not doing it on purpose. He gets out. I think he must have been working nights. One of my neighbours. Gets out at the car. God knows why he's got a tin of paint on the back seat. Falls out all over. So he's sort of suddenly looking at it. So he goes round to the driver's side, obviously, to tell his mate. He gets out, and you can see his arms are going up in the air, going, well, you know, like, well, you know. And so he gets back in car and drives off, leaves him to sort it. And he just picks this tin up and just puts it aside near my car. And then just walks into his house and leaves it there.
Crying over spilt milk.
So I'm like, okay, fine. But why is this tyre tracks in? So then I look further on. My wife gets up in the morning, Aina. She gets up. She walks past this paint. She walks round back at car. She obviously doesn't see this paint, although I don't know why, because it's white and it's a massive blob. She gets in car and just reverses straight through it. Right. Great. But then there's more tyre tracks. I'm like, well, wait. So I'm fast forwarding on CCTV. It's like a proper, like, I need to, you know, investigate this. And then there's another car that reverses out from their drive and they reverse into it and they drive off. I'm like, great.
So I bet the road markings on your road are amazing. There's white lines everywhere.
Have you put a complaint into Deluxe?
No, but I've put a complaint into council, say, can you come and clean this paint up?
And so have they been?
Well, it said, when I put my thing online, it said, take some 7 days to come across and assess it. and then it'd be 28 days before they might, before they can deal with it.
And they come back
with a massive bucket of terps. Yeah. Pour that on the road.
Yeah. I honestly wish they'd just sent him an email back with a link to Amazon for a Karcher.
Yeah. Oh, you've got a jet wash, haven't you?
Yeah, but I'm not doing it.
Why not?
Why not?
Are you in a water meter?
I am on a water meter.
There you go,
so anyway, I walked down to my neighbours because obviously he went into an house down there. So I went down and knocked on the door and I said, do you know what about this paint?
Have you got a Karcher?
No, I went, do you know what about this paint? And he went, no.
And was it him that you know had done it?
Well, he went to that house.
Oh. Right.
So he went, no, I don't know what about this paint. So I went, well, I looked on camera and he went down here. And he went, well, I don't know. So, all right, left it at that. And then later on, he's got a son. His son came home from work. And then later on, about maybe 4:00, I could see his son coming out with jet wash.
You start watching CCTV?
Well, it's on my desk 24 hours a day. Yeah. I just sit and watch it.
That's why you don't watch out on telly, isn't it? You're too busy watching your neighbours.
Listen, there's loads of stuff going on.
There's a documentary waiting to be made about people
Mark's
like you.
Sat there like David Attenborough.
Absolutely.
The wasp lands on the camera.
So anyway, they cleaned it all up.
So they cleaned it up. So have you updated the council that they don't need to come out anymore?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. And have you contacted Deluxe to tell them that you don't need their
Deluxe
paint anymore?
Yeah. Oh, well, it went, I didn't need paint. to clean it up, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it weren't Deluxe, it were
A different brand,
B&Q brand or something.
All right.
That's my week.
Deluxe.
That's your week.
Is it Deluxe?
Deluxe.
That's my week.
I meant Deluxe.
Deluxe.
And I was saying like, Deluxe. Well,
that's why we're looking at you confused.
I meant Deluxe.
Deluxe. Yeah.
Not Deluxe.
It wasn't Deluxe. It was Croon.
Croon. Yeah.
Anyway, believe it or not, I've been doing a bit of gardening this week.
Oh,
have you?
Yes.
Oh my days.
Wow.
Well, you got a cress plant on windowsill.
Yeah. Well, pruning it.
when I say gardening, look, you all know me. I'm not a fan of...
Gardening?
Well, anything that means hard work, to be honest.
I nearly said that, but I've been there.
I hate gardening. I hate it. I absolutely despise it. My dad used to try and get me to open my garden when I was younger. And it weren't the fact that I didn't want to help my dad. It was the fact that I just absolutely despise it.
Yeah.
Despise it. But who else is going to do it? So I get that. But I just struggle. I struggle with, if you don't enjoy doing something in the first place, if you don't really care and you're only doing it because you feel as though you have to, and then you combine that with, it's physical graft to do it, which I don't want to do it.
And if you haven't got the right tools for the job and then the tools, stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So this is what I've thought. I thought maybe if I got myself some tools to do the job and make the job easier, then you know I might enjoy doing it a bit more. Yeah. You know, but everything I seem to use or try and use, it just doesn't do what I need it to do. I borrowed Mark's
strimmer. No, you didn't.
Other Mark's. Oh. I borrowed Mark's strimmer. You won't like it, Rob. It's Ryobi.
Oh.
So yeah. Rob's a bit of a snob when
Rob's
it comes
a tool
to
snob.
Tool snob. So Mark's Ryobi strimmer and Mark's Ryobi hedge cutters. And then I bought a little Ryobi tool thing. You know, it's like a disc thing that goes in between your bricks and stuff to clean them out.
Weed finger.
Yeah. Anyway, it's still not done.
I honestly thought you were going to say, yeah, I've got lawnmower, edges look rubbish.
Yeah, no, it's still not done because the tool thing won't work properly. The strimmer thing won't do what I need it to do. Whatever. I prefer living in a jungle, so I'll just leave it at that. It's doing me head in.
Well, I can tell you, I have literally been doing nothing but sorting out France. We're going to France.
What, sorting out France, France.
Country? As in, it is all kicking off in France, isn't it?
As in, what, the Olympics?
I don't think I'm going to stand any chance.
Hey, French people, you're safe. You're in safe hands. Yeah. Rob's going to help you out.
Sorting France out.
No, so just to clarify, we're going to France in the caravan this summer.
All right, yeah.
If there's a few of us, Gemma's family.
Are we allowed, all in caravan?
Are we allowed to France anymore?
Yeah, we're definitely allowed. Yeah. But there's a few of us. There's three caravans going in convoy.
Oh, very nice.
So obviously I've had to sort it out. But you
are they going in alphabetical order?
They will be. Yep. But you wouldn't believe how much there is to actually sort just going to France. You almost think once I've sorted this out, we're going to France for the next 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, because the amount of stuff you have to do, it's not worth just going once.
Yeah.
Honestly, you wouldn't believe. So some of the things I've had to do just to go to France, right? Yeah. Go on, Mark.
No, I was going to say they have some quite silly conditions. Like you've got to have like a triangle in your car.
Yeah. That's one of them. And a high vis vest.
Little things. Like, I mean, I don't know them all. I just know there's
UK
little things.
UK sticker on back of your van.
Yeah, just
you've
little
got to have light deflectors on your car. Now that does depend what lights you've got. But honestly, trying to work out whether your lights are the right type or wrong type for £4, you may as well just buy the deflectors and stick them on regardless.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you've got them or not.
Kit.
Well, that's changed now. You don't have to have the breathalyzer. Yeah. You don't have to have that anymore.
Ah.
I'm saying that. Wait till I come back and I've been done for it.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure you don't. But other things. So, this is not something you need, but I've had to sort it out. Breakdown cover. Because obviously, your standard breakdown cover doesn't cover you, A, if you've got a caravan, and B, in Europe. Mm-hmm. So I've had to sort out European breakdown cover that allows caravans and whatnot.
It's a long way from to come, though, isn't it? From Britain to...
I'm hoping they've got someone more local that will come out.
Oh, okay.
Your V5 driving license. You've got to take that with you.
Your paper version, as well as a copy.
Proof of insurance for both car and caravan. There's something called an Amovis tag. Now, this is, you know, your toll roads, because obviously we are going on quite a few toll roads. You can get a tag. Now, this is not something you need, but we've got it. And basically, you put it in your car. It's a little device.
And it reads it as you go
and
through.
And it reads it so you don't have to stop at every toll road and pay.
It just makes the payment process. Yeah.
It just comes straight out of your bank, does it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's clever.
So can I just ask, Rob, I understand you need them. Is it because in case you get stopped or you have to produce them to someone, show them to someone?
The other things I've just said, your V5 and your proof of insurance, is if you get stopped by police.
Yeah.
Right, you've got to have
so
them
you
with
don't
you.
Need, you, so if you could take it and not have to show it
yeah,
to anyone. Is
absolutely.
That right?
Okay,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's certain parts of France as well, I think, certainly northern France, where I think you have to carry snow chains at certain times of year.
Yeah, I think that's right, actually. Oh. I know, because it's not something we've looked at because of the time of year we're going, but yeah, you're right. And then obviously you've got your normal things, obviously for booking your holiday, your ferries, your Le
You
Shuttle.
Need a ferry?
Well, the ferry.
You need your own ferry?
No, you need to book your ferry or Le Shuttle, your Eurotunnel.
Yeah, Le Shuttle.
You've got to book them. Obviously then you've got stops to stop at as you're going down, because you can't really do it all in one go because we're going to south of France. It's all downhill, isn't it?
Just go for it. Just go. Whoosh,
but it literally is
down.
Just the amount of things you've got to think about. What's next? What's next? And obviously, there's a few of us, so you're all chipping in. But it just feels
not
like
only
it's
that, you're filming every step of you getting this stuff ready.
Well, yeah. As it happens, I've not filmed any of that.
Editing it and colour grading.
I've not filmed any of that. But you know how organised I am. So now I've got to print all off, because last thing you're going to do is going through your email
and
folder.
You've printed off backup copies of everything in case you lose the original copies.
You know it, Mark. You know. So yeah. Literally, that's all I've been doing for the last. Wait, what feels like last 3 weeks?
I won't bother.
This is all for a 10-day holiday. I've spent more time doing it than I am actually on holiday.
Just go on. You know, shuffle.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. It is a nightmare. But it just makes you think, doesn't it?
We all love an holiday, don't we?
Yeah.
We all love an holiday. But it's something that doesn't really get talked about very much. Is that there is an element of stress involved in going on holiday, especially, and I don't know how many people around the table will relate to this or not, but especially if you're the one that is the organiser.
Yes. Yeah.
Or if you're the one that is relied upon to make sure that everything's done. So I don't mean, you know, I'm not sitting here for 1 second saying I do it all, aren't I? You know, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if you know that it kind of lands on you to make sure you've got the plane tickets or the passports or the, you know, that it's checked in, that you've got...
Yeah, hotels, boxes.
Well, I'm not going to pretend to be that person, because I'm not.
Are you not?
No, I'm the person that turns up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Are you the baggage handler?
I'm really hoping I've got some things back packed.
Do you pack your own case, do you?
Sometimes.
I don't believe it. I think you backtracked on that.
I open the case and I go, ooh, I forgot I got that t-shirt.
Oh, goodness.
Surprise! Wow.
You just pack beer, don't you? And snacks.
No, I just go.
Are you literally the baggage handler when you get to airport?
Yeah.
So do you, when you get to the airport, do you take charge of anything? No?
No.
Does Ellen do everything? The only thing I'm generally carrying
is me.
Yourself.
Electronics.
So let me go back. So when you're at home and you're not packing, do you not even weigh the cases to make sure you've not?
Oh, we do that. Yeah, we do the weighing.
We've got a wee.
Yeah.
You mean you weigh yours and Ellen weighs hers, or
we weigh
them together?
Yeah.
Do you not find that's the first stress I find with going on holiday? Literally knowing that your case is the right weight, and obviously you've got to have the right device to weigh it. It's just that's a faff, because as we all know, depending who you're flying with, have different regulations.
It makes me laugh though when you wait and you go, ooh, limit 25, 23.9, ooh, I've got a little bit, and then you put it on scales when you actually get to the airport, 19.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You're like, I could have put those extra pants in.
You could have.
Well, she could have put those extra pants in for me.
That's one of the things that I absolutely loved when we went on the cruise.
Because
it went from Southampton.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved that. Yeah. I absolutely loved the fact that we literally just got in a car. For me, it was even better because somebody else was driving.
Yeah.
So literally all I had to do was turn up at someone's house, put cases in, boom.
Someone's house.
Yeah.
You're saying that as if anybody that was going that way.
Yeah.
Any person.
Yeah, but put case in boot. Didn't have to worry about the size of them, the weight of them or anything, because there were no luggage allowed, weight limit or anything.
Yeah.
Literally, just sat in the car, pulled up outside the cruise ship. Literally, somebody was already stood there waiting to take the bags off us, took the bags off us, and we just walked onto the ship. Well, yeah. Checked in, you know, so, and just walked on ship.
And then your baggage arrives at your room.
At your room. And then for me, your holiday starts there. Yeah. Literally, as soon as you walk on that ship, the Buffy restaurant's open. You know, and yes, Mark, the bar's open.
No, so, we're talking.
So, you know, but that to me was just amazing.
And it's same getting off. You put your suitcase outside your room at night, don't you? And next day it's on coach.
Yeah. But there is an element of stress involved when it comes to, you know, I went on holiday towards the back end of last year, and I went, there was me, my wife, my ex, and three kids, so there's six of us. And it naturally, in all fairness, it just was left to me to make sure that the booking was done, to make sure we got passports, to make sure we got, you know, don't forget, the others did other stuff, but, you know, when you feel as though you've got to take responsibility for something, and like walking into airport, six of us, three kids there or whatever, and I am that person that's going up to the cashier.
Unexpected item in the baggage area.
Well, I don't know. The woman that's sat there.
Or the man. It's a bit old fashioned. You're not doing it yourself checking. What are you doing?
I must admit, Mark. Come on. For someone like me, I do like gadgets and technology and stuff like that.
Self-checking, where'd you go? With Tesco?
Yeah.
Self-checking?
I know that all that technology is there to be used and make it easier, but there's just certain things, especially when it comes to holidays.
You want to know it's done right.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't trust it. Yeah. I'm worried that you're going to get through to last bit and I haven't done something right. Not necessarily the technology, that I've done something wrong. And stuff.
So you're on your way to Portugal and your luggage is on its way to Albania.
Yeah.
You've checked it in on wrong flight.
Kurt just wants to hear that person say, have you packed this bag yourself?
Yeah. Do you know what? I can't remember the last time I got asked that question.
Really?
Absolutely.
Well, I just thought then the Mark officer just looks at Ellen.
I go, no. I'm like Ellen's drug mule. I've got no idea what's in that case.
I always look at that and I think, who else is going to have packed my bag for me?
Are you one of them that gets to airport early or bang on time?
No, well, I say I'm either the person that gets there early. Gemma tells me we're getting there early.
I'm like Gemma.
You've got to be there four hours before. 4 hours? I'm sure it's three. I think it's four.
Who's saying it's 4 hours?
I think it's 3 hours, isn't it?
If you're going to open your mouth and say that you arrived early, I'm going to call you a liar.
I do.
Longall's 3 hours.
You must use up all your timeliness in your one trip.
I definitely get to the airport as early as possible. Right down to the fact of if the flight, I would say, is any time before 2 p.m. or 1 p.m. in the afternoon, I will go down the night before and find a hotel to stay in the night before, because I will want to be at that airport for about 6-7 o'clock in the morning. Jesus. Absolutely.
Is that for a security? As in, or he's got the worst timekeeper.
He's
early.
The worst timekeeper I know. And he turns up to an airport early. I'm amazed.
Well, look, I know sometimes I can get timings wrong. I think I've got better in the years, if you want me to be honest.
You couldn't have gotten any worse.
So I think it's something is a hangover from maybe 20 years ago that people remember me for being bad on time. The biggest issue is with me with time is I always forget about travel time. So if I'm walking out my house and someone's going, where are you?
When you went on a holiday.
Yeah. When I'm going, where are you? I'm going, I'll be there in a minute. Forgetting it's actually going to take me 20 minutes to get there. I'm one of them, me. To answer your question, Mark, a little bit of the sooner you get to airport, you feel as though your holiday started.
Yeah.
I do anyway. But also, I just like to make sure
to the bar
that we're through security and it's done.
Yeah.
It's done. And the amount of times that people have said to me in the past, we don't need to be there until 11 o'clock in the morning. Why are we getting a taxi or whatever at 5 a.m.? What are we doing? I'm like, why not? What else are we going to do? Sit and just wait around?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what?
You may as well be sat eating.
May as well get in there and get it done.
Can you do the same on the way back?
Well, a lot of time on the way back, it's done for you, isn't it? So that your transfer's at a certain time or you've got to get a certain bus. So you kind of lose that control. But definitely on the way there, no time is too early.
No, I do get that. I mean, Gemma's, as you said a minute ago, well, long haul's 3 hours, short haul is less. Yeah. But Gemma would be like, no, 3 hours. You know, and to be fair, I'm saying with Kirk on that, 3 hours is fine for me because it gives me enough time to get through security, which is another thing. Getting through security and then knowing that you've got ample amount of time to, you know, go and have some food, have a drink, and, you know, and then get to your gate ready to board. So I don't mind 3 hours, regardless of where I'm flying to. But it's security for me, knowing how long that's going to take. Because sometimes it can take literally, 15 minutes and you're through.
Yeah.
Then other times, it's 45 to an hour.
I tell you something, I love flying.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Do you like the security part? Or
I just mean...
We're still in airport.
No, I'm on plane now. I'm on plane.
We're still in security.
I love flying. I say it because there's a lot of people that don't.
I don't.
Dad's wife don't. Hates it. And I really like flying.
I love flying. Love it.
I don't like it.
There's a few things I don't like. Do you mind flying, Mark?
I like flying.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think, although what I will say is my last flight back last year from Tenerife was the worst pain I've ever experienced.
Pain?
In my ears.
Your ears.
And I've never suffered before.
I've had that.
And there was something, and I heard, and there were some kids on there, and one of the kids who went with us, they had it really bad, and there were kids screaming and one thing and another, and it were like, you just don't cut. But I've never felt pain like it, and there was nothing I could do to stop it.
No.
And it were like, honestly, it was as if somebody got knitting needles and shoved inside my ears.
Yeah.
It was horrendous.
I don't get it anymore, mate, but I used to
I've only ever had it once, on that one flight.
Well, 10 years ago, I got it every time I flew.
Can you remember when they used to hand sweets out?
Boiled sweets.
Boiled sweets for that.
Well, we always have, you know, just for the just in case, nothing.
But I mean, they used to hand them out literally on the plane.
Yeah.
To you.
It didn't help, did it? Because I used to get, I still buy hard boiled sweets now for that same reason, even though I don't tend to get it anymore. But they don't really work. You're just looking and thinking, please go, because it's horrible.
Yeah.
What annoys me not more than my ears hurting, but is when people recline the chairs.
Oh, I know.
Well, your point is, I never recline my chair, my seat on a plane for that very reason, because I don't like people doing it to me.
Yeah.
Now, if the person in front of me does it, I don't do it to the person behind. I still don't do it. I've never reclined my seat ever.
Neither have I.
I just don't understand.
But I do get the argument from somebody else that will go, well, the chair reclines, why would I not recline?
Absolutely. Well, exactly. That's why I never complain to them, because they can, so I'll leave it be. But I just don't understand, because, I mean, it goes from there to like there. I mean, it don't recline much, does it? What's the bloody point?
I've got no qualms with that. The one thing that does really
kick
grind my gears is when they put the knees up on the seat behind you.
And
your seat's rocking backwards and forwards.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like when they do it in cinema. Yeah. You just want to throttle them.
Yeah, you do. That's
you're like stuff like that, though. It's the epitome of selfishness, though, isn't it? It's the epitome of somebody saying, "I'm going to do whatever I want to do."
Yep.
And I don't care how it affects anybody else around me.
I think it's just mindlessness. I don't think it's a conscious thing. I think they just probably forget. They're a little bit. Everyone gets bored and fidgety, particularly on the return flight.
You're all holidayed out.
You're tired. You're trying to get comfortable. You're a bit.
I still think it comes down to manners, and respect.
You're right, but some people just disengage and they go, oh, I need to get comfy. They put their legs up or whatever, and then it becomes somebody else's problem. I'm not saying it's right.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that's what it is. It's just a bit of ignorance. But
I mean, have you ever seen photos? Sorry, Rob. Sometimes you see photos where people put like the shoes and socks off, and they put the feet
in between the seats.
And
in front.
Yeah, you've seen pictures on Facebook where people's got bare feet and they've got like ingrowing toenails, and you're like, what's... I mean, I've never experienced it, but you've seen pictures on social media and you go, what's going off there?
I'd be ordering a spaghetti on flight food and I'd be putting it between the toes.
Yeah. No, you won't. You'd be too busy gipping.
Mark
has a terrible gag reflex.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Oh, terrible. You ought to hear him when he brushes his teeth.
What's he brushing his teeth with? His feet?
Spaghetti. You know what used to be on planes? I mean, it still is, where you get on a plane and they said, like, make sure you put your phone in airplane mode.
Yeah.
Or switch your phone off, because it interferes with play. And you go, well, what if I left my phone on? What's going to happen? Plane's not going to crash, is it?
Well, you don't know, yes.
I know, but... You don't know, but you're not telling me there's... I mean, how many flights is there every day in the world? Yeah. Thousands. Are you not telling me little Billy's left his phone off? And pilot's going, hang on, what's going off here? I can't fly this thing. And he's flying all over the place. And they're going, to get Billy to switch it. What? I don't, I mean, I understand. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've always switched it off or put it in airplane mode. But you're not telling me everybody's switching the phones off.
But surely it's just about reducing risk. If it's got a potential risk, then listen, let's take the risk away.
I agree. And I switch it off. But it's you're self-managing, aren't you? They don't come. It's not like seatbelts, for example. They check, don't they?
Yeah.
But they're not checking your phone. They're not going, let's see your phone, little Billy. Come on. They're not
He's
checking.
Got a problem with Billy, hasn't he?
They're not checking. They're not checking anyone's phone.
What confuses me though is what about the flights that have Wi-Fi on them?
Mm. Well, so there you exactly. Go, so is it a problem?
I can't put it in an airplane, man, because I want to be on Wi-Fi. And you're like, well,
does this interfere?
Does it not interfere on this plane?
Absolutely.
Only on that plane. That's a bit weird, isn't it?
I don't get it.
Best invention that wasn't made for flights, by the way, but noise-cancelling headphones on flights are a saviour.
Yeah.
Oh, my days. Not just the rumble and of the engines and the aircon and everything else.
What you get in your headphones?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get that in your headphones, but what it does solve that problem. But also just loud people, you know, noisy kids. Yeah. It's not their fault, especially when kids are screaming.
Billy.
I am not one person that gets angry or gets frustrated that kids are screaming, because that's not the parents' fault, nor the kids.
That's just how it is.
What's going on. But sometimes it is frustrating. It's not, you know.
You're trapped in a metal can for hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just to put these things over your ears and it just like go,
yeah,
gone. Oh, it's beautiful. I love that moment. I just turn them on and she says, 90% charge. And I'm like, oh, yeah. 90% of this.
Are you an all-inclusiver or a self-caterer? What do you prefer?
On a plane? No. Brilliant. Sign me up if it's all-inclusive.
On a holidays. Ah.
Wait, do you know what? I've just thought of something. Can I just tell you this first before I answer that question?
Yeah.
The last flight I went on, I'd fallen asleep with my noise-cancelling headphones on, watching a film. And the film, I can't remember what it was, but on the film...
Airport 99 or something.
They were on a plane that had a crash, or like it was going down.
That's the right choice for a film.
Hang on. You were playing this, or the plane was playing this?
No, I was. I got it on my iPad.
I was going to say that.
I got it on my iPad.
That's a bit dodgy.
And
plane's showing
it. Noise-cancelling headphones on, and you know what I'm like? I like things loud. So I got it on loud, and this whole film was quiet. Until the point where the plane was going down and I was asleep. And all of a sudden I just heard this, woo, woo, and everyone went, ah! And I literally shot up and went, ah!
Because you thought the plane
in the middle of the
Because little Billy had left his, his phone off.
All those kids that are just nodded off, woke up screaming.
Headphones fall off. Jim was looking at me, what are you doing? I fall asleep, look at the screen.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
You idiot. Anyway, back to what you were saying, Kirk.
No, I just wonder whether you preferred all-inclusive holidays or self-catering holidays.
Well, you see, I find this really difficult because I think there's a time and a place for both. Mm-hmm. So if I was to go somewhere like, Italy or Spain, that's got quite a local town that I know, you know, they've got loads of eateries and places to go and stuff, then I'd rather go self-catering so that I can go and taste all the local foods. But if I was to go somewhere like Egypt or...
Caribbean,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Somewhere where they might have local eateries, but there's probably not going to be many, or they advise you that it's not safe to really go out of your complex sort of thing.
Yeah.
Then I would rather go, you know, all-inclusive.
Yeah. What about you, Mark?
Exactly the same, I think. Yeah. I like going out and trying things. But there are certain countries, aren't there, like you said, Egypt, Turkey, those sorts of places, I suppose, where you'd go and it's going to be all about all-inclusive, isn't it? Because you don't necessarily, you know, you're going around these busy marketplaces where everyone's touting you for business and one thing and another, and you just want to go and relax, I suppose. So, I suppose it depends on where you're going, really.
Kirk?
Yeah. All-inclusive all day long for me.
Yeah.
I'm one of them people that I know that you can all laugh and joke saying, well, of course you like all-inclusive, Kirk, because it means you can eat all the time, which, you know, there's an element of truth in it, I guess. But the main reason for me is I think there's enough stresses in life in general that when you go on holiday, I want to try and make it as stress-free as possible.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that everything's paid for before you go as much as possible, that there's no worry about how much spending money you take or how much things are going to be, or, you know, it's, I suppose it's a different kettle of fish if you've got loads of money in bank and it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But I really do struggle with, you mentioned it there, Mark, about when there's people touting for your business and touting for, you know, I'll always remember I went to Tunisia. I went on holiday to Tunisia, and we're on in an all-inclusive complex. And it one of them things, I'm not a very confident traveller abroad, as in, like, I'm not one of these that goes out and just goes to local villages. Yeah, yeah. And I'm just not. But I thought to myself, right, I'm going to make the effort and I'm going to go out. So the holiday rep had said, look, there's a shopping centre in the middle of Tunisia, the Elephant something or other it's called. It's massive. And apparently it's all air-conditioned and everything's priced. So there's no haggling.
Yeah.
So it's cheap because it's in Tunisia. It's a great place to go and get gifts and souvenirs and stuff, but there's no haggling, there's no one bothering you, you know, ideal for tourists like and stuff.
Brilliant.
Exactly. So I thought, that
perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So she's just go out of here, get a taxi, don't pay any more than X for a taxi, get there, come back. Right, fine. So I know it sounds like a nothingness, right? But it were a big deal for me, this. I really, really, really was panicking about it. Especially when you get to the entrance to the hotel, and it's a big metal gate with spikes on the top, guarded by armed police.
Yeah.
Is this your hotel?
Yeah. So you're a little bit like, okay. And these gates slid back. And as soon as I stepped out, people coming up, horse and cart, taxi. And I'm just like, come on. I just get really, really overwhelmed. And I literally stood there and I said this price, this taxi driver. He said, yeah, get in. Got in, told him where I wanted to go, what the person told me to, the holiday rep told me to say. Yes, not a problem. And off he drove. And I thought, okay, we're on his way. Driving along, taxi driver seemed pleasant enough. He was trying to make conversation, you know, as best as you can. Fine, very polite, very nice. And then all of a sudden, we pulled into like this like little village, small town thing. I'm thinking,
this is where I get murdered.
Well, yeah, but it's like, this isn't what was explained. It was like. So I thought, but, you know, keep quiet, whatever. Then all of a sudden pulled up outside the shop and the taxi driver's like, yes, we're here. So I confirmed with him again, is this Elephant, whatever it is? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so got out the car. He said, I'll stay here, I'll sit here and I'll have a coffee. So when you come out, I can just take you back. So I thought, right, okay.
Well, his meter weren't taking work.
So it was a set price.
Oh, okay.
So literally walked into this shop. As I walked into this shop, the shopkeeper shut and locked the door behind me.
Oh.
Right. And then ushered me like upstairs into this shop. It was like two floors. Ushered me upstairs. Ooh. And I swear to you,
you were sweating.
There was probably about four, five, six other couples, obviously all just wandering around with this look on the face as if to say, where are we? Honestly.
Do you want to play a game?
Yeah. Yeah. And so this guy starts going, you know, starts trying to sell me stuff, starts trying to put stuff in my hand. I'm like, obviously, we're in the wrong place here, right? And then, do you know what? I just got really, really mad. Really mad. I just got mad on the sense of all that build-up that I'd done, and this was exactly what I was worried about.
Trying to avoid.
This is exactly what I was trying to avoid.
So you turned into a bull in the elephant shop.
I really did. So I literally pushed this guy out of the way, walked downstairs. This guy's trying to chase me, trying to sell me some belts and stuff.
Were you yourself or were you Daisy?
I was with Daisy.
Yeah.
And I literally unlocked the door, ragged the door open. The taxi driver, if you'd have seen the look on the taxi driver's face, I think he thought I was going to lamp him. I wouldn't have done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you did.
I'm not a small guy, you know. And I was very angry. And he straight away put his coffee down, got in the taxi, and he kept saying, sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You know, and he eventually took me to the right place. When we got to the right place, it was exactly what was advertised. It was a lovely place, this, that, other. But got back to the hotel, didn't tip him, because I thought...
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So actually lost money by doing whatever we were trying to do.
Yeah.
And then got into the resort, and then just stayed there. Because it then just... It just completely put me off.
Yeah.
You know, to the point when me and Daisy went for our honeymoon in Morocco, the resort that we stayed at was bang off the roundabout where all the souks are and stuff.
Mm.
And you could hear all the music and stuff like that at night. And everyone's saying about how amazing, like, what's the word? Sorry,
atmosphere.
But when you experience something, what an amazing experience it was, it is to do, but no way, no way was I going out and doing that. Mm. And it really is a big issue with me. So I just prefer getting somewhere, nice resort, nice hotel, pools, all inclusive, job done.
Yeah,
job done.
I mean, there is also with all inclusive. You at least you know what you're getting as well when it comes to entertainment. I mean, you don't know what you're getting entertainment wise, but you know, 9 times out of 10 you're gonna have an entertainment program, and I like that. That's something that I look forward to when I go on holiday, a bit of entertainment in an evening, and you tend to get that, don't you?
Hey, kids, it's results. Bubbles the monkey. Rob's like, yay!
it's me in the costume. Yeah. Come day three, I'm in the show.
Yeah. Chocolate.
every
night. Yeah.
That's me, mate.
Yeah.
Oh dear. No, I do love it. I'll tell you what gets me, though.
So do you want to know if I prefer it or not?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they're not all inclusive at Disney,
I didn't think you were on holiday.
Well, I can answer that. The bizarre thing is, for the last, I would say, maybe 4 or 5 years, the type of holidays I've been on, I've not had to make that choice of all-inclusive or self-catering. I know that's not what you're asking me, but... For example, I've been on cruise ships for the last couple of years. I've been to Disney World. So there is Florida, I guess, to some degree. But I spend very little time in restaurants and stuff because you're in theme parks.
Yeah.
So
if you weren't going to them and you were going somewhere else, what would you prefer?
So it's been a Disney like being on a diet plan.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
You put some steps in, mate. I'll tell you that for a fact.
Well, I don't particularly... I don't. I know some people do, but I don't particularly eat much when I'm... in the theme park. No, I'm
and he does loads of steps, so I don't know what he's doing wrong.
I wouldn't have that wrong.
I'm in a wheelchair. If you ain't push around.
Yeah,
that's the plot. That's the idea.
I want that one.
the bit that gets me more than anything is before you've gone on holiday, and it's normally a year before you go on holiday, and it's the anxiety of trying to get annual leave at work.
What's that?
You won't know. You've not had a job for how many years? but seriously, not seriously about you having a job. I am only joking.
No, it's fine.
You've not had a job for 30 years.
I were lucky enough to give up my job.
Yeah,
I'm going to semi-retirement. I'm not slave to the rhythm like you guys.
Slave to the rhythm.
The point I was making, that's the start, is the annual leave thing at work. It's that literally, I get anxiety about this situation. Because normally, in some places, you can't, it's not just a case of, that's the date I want on holiday. It's all, who else has booked that date off?
Mm.
And you know the dates you want to go, and you're going to go in and set to work. I want this date off, and it's a nightmare when you know you've got kids' holidays. Now, although I ain't got kids, we do end up going away with larger families who have got kids, so you are governed by their school holidays. And you know for a fact that someone's probably going to book that week off.
You end up being penalised for that, then, don't you? Because you end up paying higher prices than what you would normally do if you went in.
Oh, absolutely.
In other times, don't you?
That does happen quite a lot. We do end up always going at kids' holidays, even though we ain't got kids. But and then obviously I've got to try and get it off work. And I find it so stressful going into work thinking I've got to ask for an holiday that 9 times out of 10 someone's already booked off, but I need it off.
Well, yeah. it's
one of your colleagues is there with 3 kids. I wish I could go on holiday, but Rob keeps taking them all. He hasn't even got a child.
I think that's what we want to say.
You're right. I mean, you've touched on to a good thing. I mean, it's a huge problem, isn't it, with companies that's got loads of employers.
Yeah.
Because it's a free for all people. You know, and then you get into the realms of, you know, there's some people who don't have kids. They think that they should prioritise the people that do have kids.
Yeah.
You know, you go, well, why? And things. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but there's all that debate. Well, you don't have kids, so I should have first right. And I mean, it's a whole problem.
And especially because a lot of companies now are putting restrictions on how many people can be off at any one time.
And then there's all the... Then you get people sort of block booking holidays. They haven't booked anything. They've no intention of booking it, but just in case.
Yeah.
But then that starts a snowball effect. And it's a huge problem.
It's like a race, isn't it?
I used to...
That's the day that the holidays open. Yep. And they do that at work now. Like, they'll say, holiday calendar for next year will open on 1st of January. And you're like, hold on, I'm wanting to book like, an holiday. I'm year before, and I want to book an holiday. Don't open until then.
It's almost like booking tickets to Glastonbury or something. It's like what was open. It's almost like that. It's not just booking dates when you want willy nilly.
Am I the only one that gets stressed out by it?
No, I used to when I used to work in bank. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you are the only one, but I don't.
I've never.
It's because your company's quite big.
Yeah, and I think also you are higher up the chain of command in the company that you're working for.
Yeah, but we still had restrictions on how many people could be off at once. But if I dare be a little bit controversial, I used to book my holidays properly. So therefore, I'd look at what was available to book off at holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd look for a holiday with them dates. I think too many people, what they generally do is they look at a holiday that they want or that they want to book, or they're trying to work around loads of other people and then complain that their employer won't work around that.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you request holiday. A holiday can be accepted or denied from your work.
Yeah.
They don't have to work around your family or your extended family or whatever it is. They're going, well, there's the availability, book something that's available and we're going to approve it.
Yeah.
I just think that what's happened in, not just you, or I'm not saying you do this, but what I'm saying is that generally people go, I've had it before where I've had staff members come to me and go, I need the first 2 weeks of August off.
Because that's when I'm going
And I've turned around to them and gone, I'm sorry, there's already six people off in the first 2 weeks of August. It'll have to be another time. And their answer back to me is, well, I've already booked it now.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, but then I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
I'm the bad guy. You know, there's a clear policy there. You've signed the policy. You know what it is. But this is what people do. They go and look for a holiday. Go, that's what we want to do. And that's where your anxiety will come from, Rob, because...
No. My anxiety comes from the fact that that's the holiday I want.
Yeah.
And I just... And
you're stealing children's holidays.
I'm just hoping I can get it. And that's where... Because if I can't, I've then got to look at another day.
I think there's also the thing that if you work for certain companies and they only open their holiday request time at certain times. Mm. You know, I was in that situation where I worked for, I could book a holiday in 4 years' time if I wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, there was no waiting for it. So I do get what you're saying, but it does bring another good point though, Mark. You just touched on it then. That how ridiculous is the price difference between school holidays and non-school holidays?
Yeah.
Because you suffer with this, don't you, Mark? Because you have to book in school holidays.
Helen works at school. And we obviously got kids at school, so we, you know, granted, Ellen gets about 20 weeks a year off because that's how schools work. But
they are set times.
They're set times, and it's then.
But
prices are 30% more expensive.
But that's a supply and demand thing.
I understand why they do it, Mark. I do understand why they do it, but
the supply and the demand would still be the same if they spread it out across the whole year.
I mean, I remember in an earlier podcast, we were talking about supply and demand in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
And obviously, dynamic pricing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think you, Kirk, said, well, that's absolutely fine. That's how it should work. So that's how it should work with holidays.
I understand why they do it. But what I'm saying is when you're limited and captured into that, that's what I'm saying. That I'm not saying it's wrong that the holiday people do.
Yeah.
I think they do push the boundaries a little bit. I agree with Mark, for instance, that maybe if they made the cheaper months a little bit more expensive and took it off the peak months, then over the year it might you know, work out. But for me, it's just, I mean, like, look, I took my kids out of school to take them on holiday, because paying the fine is still cheaper. A damn sight cheaper, a lot cheaper than going in school.
And for some families, that's the only option, isn't it?
It is the only option. It's the only option. This is where me and Mr. Lane disagree, because I'm dead against the whole fining for taking kids out of school. Yeah. Dead against it. Because I believe that I'm the parent. Mm. I'm the parent of my children.
Yeah.
And I think as long as their overall attendance over the year is at an acceptable level, then it doesn't make any difference whatsoever, me taking the kids out of school.
But I don't think it's up to you to make that decision if it's an acceptable level. I mean, that's...
I think the acceptable level should be set. So I think the acceptable level should be if the school turn around and say, if your attendance is above 90%, because that's what they believe is acceptable, then you won't get fined for taking your kids out of school for a holiday for 2 weeks. Then that's fine. But, you know... What we're basically saying is a parent can ring a child in sick for a week.
Yeah.
and nothing happened. And then 2 months later, 3 months later, ringing sick for that child for another week and nothing happens. And then 3-4 weeks later, ringing child for another week sick and nothing happens.
Well, that comes down to the administration of the school.
Yeah, but there's still no law in place or legal. Obviously, you don't send your kids to school at all, and you cross legal thresholds. But there's no fines or whatever. But you can have a child that goes to school every single day of the year. They could have a 99% attendance rate and absolutely smashing the work or whatever. You decide to take them on holiday for 2 weeks out of school holidays, mm-hmm. yeah? And all of a sudden, I mean, I had to pay £280 fine, I believe, for two kids.
Right.
You know, that's wrong. It's wrong.
Your defence is that, is in case they're sick, is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is that
you're saying that if they're sick, there's nothing
forget
happens.
About the sick thing. Yeah, what you're saying is some other kids at school might have 3 weeks off.
Yeah. 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Yeah, because they're ill, it doesn't matter.
Well, because we're not talking about sickness. We're talking about taking them out.
We're talking about taking kids out of school, whether they're sick or whether it's for a holiday.
Yeah, but if they're sick, then they can't go to school, can they?
For 4 or 5 weeks of the year.
Well, then, that, as I said, that's down to school to administrate that and to look into it and investigate and find out why.
But they won't fine them.
Why they... Well, no, they don't.
They can't.
You know, they can't fine them, but they need to find out why that kid's off sick. Yeah. But we're not talking about sickness.
What you're saying is with an open book and saying, right, this is why my child's not going to be in school for 2 weeks.
Because I've decided as the parent that I'm taking them away on holiday.
Yeah, I'm not
talking
about sickness. I'm talking about that Kirk's decided to take the kids out of school. That's fine. So therefore, he should be fined.
Yeah.
Because he's taking his kids out.
No, that's right.
What do you mean, no? Yes. He takes his kids out, he gets fined.
That's right, but it's wrong.
Why? No, it's not wrong.
It is.
Why? His kids should be at school.
So you don't know why this kid's off for 4 or 5 weeks. Somebody's got to investigate it, blah, blah, blah,
blah,
blah.
You're talking about sickness.
Yeah,
but they're still not in school.
Absolutely.
Right. Somebody's got to investigate that.
Because
you're going with an open book and being honest and saying, right, I'm taking my kids out of school because I cannot afford to take them on holiday and any other than this time.
Well, that's not school's fault, is it?
No, neither is the parents' fault.
Well, it's not the school's fault.
No, and it's not the parents' fault.
Well, it's not the parents' fault, what? That they can't afford to take the kids on holiday. If they can't afford to take the kids on holiday, they don't go on holiday.
They can afford to take the kids on holiday.
Yes.
But just not in the school holidays when everything's inflated by 40 and 50% for the same holiday.
But that's not the school's problem, is it?
Well, no, it's not. Listen, I agree with you. It's not the school's problem. But it's also not the school's responsibility or position to fine me to take my kids out of school in an education system that I decide whether they're... What, do you get what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean. So
can I find the school when they strike for a day?
Well, that's completely different.
Whoa, no, it isn't. Yeah, am I getting fined? Why am I getting fined for taking my kids out of school? What's the bottom line reason? Well, because they're missing education.
Right.
Yeah.
They're missing education.
Right. And when teachers go on strike...
Right, well, hang on a minute. You're saying you're taking your kids out, but you know full well if you take your kids out, you will be fined. If you disagree with that, I don't have a problem with you disagreeing it. What I have a problem with you not accepting it. They're the rules. So if you take your kids out, I don't have a problem you taking your kids out.
But is the rule wrong?
The problem I have is you're not accepting the fine.
But that's like me saying,
I've got to get to an appointment, so therefore I've got to speed. But I've sped and I've been fined. I disagree with that. But no, that's...
Right, well, for starters, that's a difference because you're breaking the law. I'm not breaking the law. But the secondary thing is, I never said I didn't accept it. I paid it because you're right. The end of the day, there's the rule. They fine me and that's it. What I'm arguing the fact is the rule is wrong.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. The rule is wrong.
So what about then, Mark?
I didn't say the rule was right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what the rule
is. Can I ask, based on the theory that you're going by, Mark, mm-hmm. would you also say then that if a child is off sick, I'm assuming that you'd also think it's that the school should be ringing them and saying, are they sick?
Well, kid's off... Right, their examples, Mark and Kirk's, were if a kid's off sick 3 or 4 weeks, then there's an issue there. Then that needs to be in looked into and investigated. But if a kid's off at a school a couple of days or whatever, fine.
Yeah.
Likewise, if a kid's off 1 or 2 days holiday, maybe, you know, let it go, because I don't think they can be fined for 1 or 2 days anyway. No. But if you're purposely taking your kids out...
Are you saying that what I should do then is next year, if I want to take my kids on holiday, I should take them for a week and I should just ring school and ring in sick all week for that kid?
I didn't say that.
Well, that'll avoid my fine.
I know what I'd be doing.
Well, if you were taking your kids out for 2 weeks and saying
a week, I said a week.
Week, and you were saying they were sick, right? Then that's up to the school to make a decision what they do.
Right, but that's what I should do to avoid the fine.
Well, that if you think you should do that, then that's your decision.
Right.
I wouldn't do it.
I couldn't do that.
I wouldn't do
I
that.
I couldn't do that, and I couldn't send the kids to be dishonest either.
I was very open and honest with school. I went to them and said, look, I'm taking my kids out of school. It was 2 weeks before Christmas. You know how schools wind down towards Christmas anyway. There's no exams. There's nothing like that. And I was open and honest and said, I'm taking my kids out. You know, that holiday...
My kids in nativity.
That holiday, right, for six of us to go all-inclusive in a four-star hotel cost a total... of £1,600.
Wow.
Right? For six of us. Right? Wow. Six of us, £1,600.
Where did you go? Farm Foods?
Yeah.
Iceland. Yeah. The shop.
Absolutely, right? In the same holiday, in the same hotel, in the middle of August, was £7,500.
Right, so your problem is with the travel company and that, not with schools?
No, my issue that I have with schools is my kids have a very high attendance record. They're all doing very well in the schoolwork. They're not behind on the schoolwork. I don't take them out every year. I don't take them out every other month. They have very little time off sick. I was honest with them about why I was taking them out. It was leading up to Christmas, which is a downtime anyway, but yet they still decide to fine me £280 for doing it, right? That's my issue. But yeah.
Okay.
If they want a teacher's training day, or if they want to strike, or if they want this, that, or other, I can't find them. It's not the same with them. Even though the people have to then find different areas for childcare, even though people have to take holiday days from work to look after the kids. I'm not saying teachers shouldn't strike. I'm not getting into that. What I'm saying is it seems very two-faced. You take your child out of school, you decide to do that, and we're going to fine you.
And let's not forget that the schools... also will have, for some of your more privileged children that might get the opportunity to go to France skiing, go to Florida, New York.
It's not relevant to what we're talking about. I'm talking about what the rules are. Your kid attends school, right?
Yeah.
If you're taking your kids out of school for holiday, which you can do, but you face the consequences of it. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it doesn't need to be changed. It needs to be looked at. It needs to be on a case by case, basis. So, for example, with Kurt, he's saying that his kids attend school. Over 90% of the time, etc., etc. So each school and teacher or governor of that school or head teacher needs to do that. I know you could say, well, that's one rule for one rule for other, but that's how it has to be.
Because it's down to the head teacher, by the way. Did you know that? It is down to the head teacher whether they report you to the local authorities.
Well, there you go. Then that's what they need to do. Yeah. But how the system is at the moment is that if Kurt does that, which he'll take his kids out, then the point is he faces the fine.
That's right.
And that's why it is.
So where does the fine go?
The local authority.
And what do they do with it?
I don't know.
Put it back in schools to look after kids. Another point is that teachers also can't take holidays off, can they? Are they going, right, well, price holidays too much in 6 weeks holiday. So this week I'm supposed to be teaching English to kids, but you know what? I'm going to bug off on holiday.
I get what you say, Bob, but they're choosing to be teachers.
Yes.
They're choosing that career. Knowing that that's what knowing what happens. But that's a choice to them.
I know, but it is a choice. But the point is, they know what the rules are when they go into that job.
Yeah.
Kids, parents, right? Have kids. They know full well what the things are. Kids, your kids must attend school. You can't be just pulling them out to go on holiday when you want. It's wrong.
I disagree.
Well,
I think you might have to agree to disagree.
I know what's best for my kids, not teachers.
Yeah. And there is definitely an argument for that.
I'm not saying you don't know what's best for your kids. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that kids should attend school.
You're a fun sponge.
That's what I'm saying.
I think we need some more fun. That's what we need.
Well, I'll tell you what. Shall we spin this wheel?
Time
for the Wheel of Features.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Come on.
You're nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
Okay, so first off then, I need to answer last week's one, which was...
Oh, Rob's riddle.
Yeah. That's the one, yes. Right, yeah. I'm going to give you a very quick recap, okay? Because I don't want to get stuck where I got stuck last time.
Right.
And just because it's long. Okay, so a father told his three sons he would die soon and needed to decide which one to give his property to. He said, go to the market and buy something that is large enough to fill my bedroom, but small enough to fit in your pocket. They all came back and none of them succeeded, apart from one, okay? The third son came back and showed his father what he'd bought.
What did the first two do?
Oh, I'm not going into
that. Don't throw him off.
The third son came in and showed his father what he bought. He wound up getting the property. What did the third son show his father? Kirk, you said you think you knew what it was.
Yes, I think I know what it were.
Go on.
Well, I would say some sort of light. So some sort of either torch or bulb or something that lights up the room. So obviously small enough to put in his pocket, but then when it's turned on in some way, lights the whole room.
You are correct.
Yes.
The answer was a box of matches.
All right.
Oh. Whenever he lit a match, it filled the room with light.
There we go.
Well done, Kirk.
Thank you very much.
This room must have been small for one match.
Or a really big match.
Yeah.
Time at the bar, please.
Are we ready for this week's?
Yeah, give it a spin.
Here we go.
Spin the wheel.
There we go.
Boy.
What's it gonna be?
It's mine again! AI Jukebox Jam!
Oh.
Song downloading. Complete. Lyric analysis. Complete. AI Jukebox Jam, 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 jam,
jam, jam.
Connection lost.
So you know how this one works. I've given AI a song title and asked it to tell us the meaning of that song. I'm going to tell you the meaning and you've got to guess what the song is.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
So
it'd be a bit harder than last time.
I think it might be a little bit harder. I've not gone for really difficult. Okay. All right. Still working to the difficult ones.
To be honest,
ones.
I want it easier. I can't.
The DJ over here.
Okay, so X by X highlights the struggles and frustration of working class people, particularly women, who work long hours for low pay in unappreciative environments.
Push pineapple, shake a tree.
Any ideas?
Read it again, sorry.
Yeah, read it again. Yeah, I put myself
X by X highlights the struggles and frustrations of working class people, particularly women, who work long hours for low pay in unappreciative environments.
Do you know what? I don't think I know.
I think I do.
Oh, dear.
And keep it to yourself. Yeah. Mark, any ideas?
I don't know. I don't think so, no. Which is not a surprise, is it?
Well, you know the score. If you know it in your cars or at home or whatever you're listening to, write in, tell us what you think the answer is, and we'll reveal it next week.
Tune in next week.
It's been a pleasure, boys.
Absolutely. Yes.
And on that note... I nearly forgot.
Bye, boys.
See you later.
See you later.
Bye. Hang on. Don't press stop yet. It's me, Mark. Not Rob. I've got to tell you guys, we want you to do us a big favour. We want you to cast a vote for us for the British Podcast Awards and the Listener Choice Awards. You can find all the details on our socials and all the links are there. We'd really appreciate it if you could just take 2 minutes to do it for us, because we'd really appreciate it. So just do that for us and for the rest of the lads. Thanks.